Much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Pastor, would you please pray?
Brother, is your mic on?
Now it is.
Okay. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to, Lord, feast upon your word. We pray, Father, that, Lord, we would, Lord, just be able to chew on everything that's said this morning and get the most nourishment that we can out of it, Lord, that we may grow spiritually, that we may grow to be the men and women you call us to be. And, Lord, we know and acknowledge that your will and purpose is that we become more like your Son.
Yes.
And so, Father, we pray, Father, that you would grant us a heart to hear and to obtain all that you have for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Reading my text again. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'd like to take that and preach on a New Year's message. And you'll notice that I put work out in the text. Of course, it's the time of year again. Holidays are here upon us, and everybody starts to do what they do at this time of year, which is do what? Make resolutions, that's right. So what are the popular resolutions this year? Lose weight, number one. Get fit. Save money. Get out of debt. Quit smoking. Drink less. Enjoy life. Spend more time with family and friends. Those were the top resolutions for this year. I searched it out myself. Bridget and I were just talking about this a couple weeks ago. Oh my goodness, can you believe it's January again? We go to the gym, there's not going to be any space. And you can't even get close to the door of the gym. And what's amazing is, people are going to the gym, right? They'll circle around the parking lot looking for a place close to the door so they don't have to walk so far to get into the gym. That's Happy New Year's to you, right there. That's right. If you've never heard me preach, I have a style on my own. If you don't like it, pastor me back next week. Also, this time of year, you'll see stuff like those we lost this year. Usually, they're pop culture stories. You know, they reflect on all of the great, wonderful entertainers that we lost this year, and you know how much we lost of our culture, and how many things have happened that are bad. And we pause to reflect on the things that have happened in the year past. Now, if you follow along in your Bible and you wish to, and you want to go to a chapter and stay there, Ephesians 2 would be it today. Ephesians 2, 1 reads, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of a disobedience." You see, brother, that's what makes this time of year so difficult for me. I'm using hypothetical here. Because I'm so perfect. I have no need of a resolution because there's nothing I can improve upon. Ephesians 2 and 3 reads, "Among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." There you are, brother. You said, "Among whom?" I only sin when I'm alone. Excuses me from that. You've never heard these excuses before. I've heard people who make excuses for their sins just like that. That's why I'm throwing it in there. Romans 3:22 says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." It's Romans 3:22 through 24. Some would say, "Nathan, stop right there. Let us bask in the glorious grace of God, His infinite mercy." Yes. Let us. No, not lettuce. Lettuce is only good with tomatoes and bacon on toast, a little mayo, pepper. Some of you got that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Back to Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the past, people want to dredge up the things of their past. They don't want to let it go. I don't understand why you want to sit and reflect on the things that have passed. I don't know if people have suffered personal tragedies. It's good to have remembrance and stuff, but I don't know why you'd want to sit and dredge up all the bad news, you know. I saw in the news this morning, top news stories of 2014. And you're going to recount all the misery that happened in the last year. And I was thinking, it's not how I want to spend my holidays. I'd rather forget that stuff happened. Which brings us to the present. New Year's, this time of year, also brings about a time of reflection or introspection. We look at ourselves, say, where are we now? Well, in case you hadn't noticed, brother, we're sitting in church. Duh! Just dated myself with the use of the word duh. People don't say that anymore. They have teenagers. They say things like, meh. Meh. I'm like, what are they saying? I don't even get it. What are they saying? You're just not with it, you old man. Well, duh. Seriously, although we are all here in this building physically, I hope you are physically. I look around, I see people. You're here. And you may be here and you may be so full of God's glory and joy and happiness that you're just about to break into song and dance. You could be. You may be. Could also already be at the Niners game. You could be. You may be at lunch thinking about how long that church service dragged on and on and on. I never thought that guy was going to shut up. You may be in a deep pit of despair. You really may be. You might be brokenhearted this morning. Those are all things that you come to through introspection, assessing yourself. Where am I? Go back to that old proverb. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. This is why they call it the present. Sage old advice from Kung Fu Panda. But it's true. People are caught up this time of year. What's happened? What's going to happen maybe next year? But where should we be? In the gift, that's right. In the present. Come on, Nathan, you say that, but you have no idea where I've been, and you have no idea where I'm at. And that's true. I don't know where you're at, but God does. Romans 8:18 reads, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Where do you come up with these messages, brother? Well, usually I need them first. And I figure, being kind of, you know, whatever, associate yourself with everybody else. If I needed it, I'm going to assume that other people needed it too. Maybe nobody else even needs it. Maybe it's all for me. But if that's the case, God really loves me. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. What was that word again? Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. I just one thing that drives me nuts. Preacher is up there in the pulpit and they start listing all of the wonderful things that they have done. Back when I was in Papua New Guinea and I preached to the thousands and the millions and I brought all these people to God, and oh Jay, what a wonderful man of God you are. Except for, isn't that kind of part of your reasonable service? Usually when I hear somebody do that, I have to like backtrack a little bit. Probably 15 or 20 minutes before I come back to where he's at. I'm so busy being irked by the fact that he had to give me a litany of all the wonderful things that he's done. Is it about you? Is it about me? I remember I was in seminary. You're doing it yourself, Nathan. No, I'm going to tell the story. Why? Because it applies here. This fellow, he came out of seminary. He was all full of vin and vinegar, and he wanted to preach the gospel and set the world on fire, and he had all this head knowledge, and he had all of this scriptural knowledge, and he got up there week after week after week, and he preached and he preached and he preached. One day they take up the offering, and he had a note in there from one of the little elderly ladies in the church. And all it said was, we would see Jesus. And he realized that in the course of all of his activity for God, made it all about himself. And the folks that had been around church for decades recognized that, said, please stop. Just show us Jesus. Colossians 2 and 13 says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. Not some. Now the adversary, he likes to do this. You'll just get onto a place and a peak, and you're up there with the angels singing, and all of the clouds and the glory of God is shining upon you. And the adversary will say, you remember that time when you... It wasn't so long ago that... Why does he do that? Steal your joy. Why would he want to steal your joy? The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you have the joy of God, you're above the world. It's hard for the world to get to you when you're that far above it. He hath quickened. What is that word quickened? It means to make them fast. No, it means that they're alive. Now they're alive. You've been brought out of the dead works. You've been brought out of the old things. Now you have a chance to truly live. New year. New you. Some people say, yeah, I'm going to have buns of steel. You're still going to have buns. Duh. Ephesians 2 and 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift. We're in the holiday season. the gift of God. Now, let me get personal with you. I'm going to tell you my salvation story. Now, some of you might be thinking, you heard the story, you'll recognize it. You say, I heard you preach years ago, and I heard the same story. I'm sorry, it's a salvation story. It never gets old to me. I worked at a plumbing company. Plumbing companies work on plumbing. If you didn't know. Duh. This particular plumbing company was based in Seattle. And we went to work on this Jewish home. I know because they all wore yarmulkes. They were Jewish people. They actually talked to me, and my coworkers were so uncomfortable being around religious people that they kind of made me the intermediary because I was a seminary student. Ask them why they wear those little things on their heads. I remember asking little boys, little teenage boys came out and talked to us. Well, they said, duh, to honor God. Like, we were stupid. I didn't know why they wore yarmulkes. I didn't even know it was called a yarmulke. But anyways, Jewish family had this beautiful home up on the hill. Right? Well, their driveway was about, pretty wide one, but it was about a foot thick concrete. Pretty sure it wasn't a cheap driveway. But their plumbing problem was that in their sanitary sewer, they had no flow problem. What does no flow mean? No. There's no flow. That's right. It's, you know, you run water and stuff, and it just stays there. It doesn't go anywhere. Not flowing. It's stuck. Well, they did not want to tear up this beautiful concrete drive. And they had tried from the house and tried from the street, and guess where the problem was? Right, right. In the middle, underneath that concrete drive. So me and a worker at this O'Neill Plumbing Company got up on my tractor, had a kind of cool swing boom. So I swung it around sideways, got out there as far as I could, and used that swing boom to dig down about 9 feet in this kind of sandy, loose soil, roots and everything, going through trees and stuff. Often when you have no flows in Seattle, it's because roots get into the plumbing problem. Right? So finally we get down in there. Got 9 foot hole down beside this big concrete, you know, driveway. Carefully, after we get the shoring in place, get down there, break the pipe. Nothing in it. What does that mean? The no flow problem is between you and the house. Because there's nothing there where you're at. Right? So now we've got a problem. We have to solve this no flow problem without breaking up that driveway. So we break off this pipe down in there and shine a flashlight up in there and see the problem. There it is. Way beyond where anybody can reach. So there was an idea. We have an idea. We are going to force water up the pipe. It will alleviate the no-flow problem. Are you following me here, there? Okay, right, okay. So here I am. Get down under the shoring, down there where I'm about eye level with the sewer pipe, right? Got a hose with a really powerful, like, little spigot nozzle on there. I'm spraying it up the pipe, cautiously. Talking about a no-flow problem here, right? There's a lot of pressure on that pipe. I just want to get it so that I can get out of the way and let the no-flow problem alleviate itself. So I'm spraying. All of a sudden, I become radically, acutely aware that there is no longer a no-flow problem. And I'm in a hole. And so I go backward, and I'm scrabbling up the wall, and I'm pulling down roots and gravel and stuff going down the back of my jacket, and I just desperately do not want to be here anymore. And I know there is no hope. For me, I am undone.
And as I'm scrabbling up the wall, all of a sudden, feel something hit me across the chest. And I weigh 220 pounds. And I feel this force pull me up out of a 9-foot hole, which rapidly filled up. You know what God said to me in that moment? That is salvation. That is salvation. And you know, the more I thought about it, you know the only way that could have happened? My friend who was up at the top had to foresee the need for salvation. He had to make preparation. He's up at the top of the hole, because he's smart, not down the hole. He was leaned down next to the hole, watching me. And when I started scrabbling away, he was able to reach me. But if he had been standing up, there's no way he would have got to me in time. Brother, I thought you were going to tell us about giving your heart to Jesus. I did that too, and it was very similar. Ephesians 2 and 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Perhaps you don't understand why you are where you are right now. Perhaps you don't understand why you got to go through the troubles that you go through right now. Perhaps you don't understand why you had to be down in a hole. But perhaps those are just the mileposts by which you measure your progress. We are temporal. That means we are temporary. We are all affected by time. When I said, where are you this morning? You could have easily said, well, I'm an old man like our brother over there. Or I'm a young man. I'm this side of marriage. I'm on that side of marriage. I'm about to become a grandparent. I could be thinking maybe this time next year I'll be home. You could be thinking that. Those are all different places upon this journey that we call life. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only. This sounds familiar. But now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Next verse. For it is God, which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Perhaps I missed it here in my story of salvation, but let me make it clear. There was nothing, not one single thing, and I tried to deliver myself from that situation. I desperately did not want to be in the bottom of that hole at that point. And there was nothing within my power that could affect that situation. Well, that's all good, brother, but what if I'm not a child of God? What if I don't know the salvation you're talking about? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. People say, well, I'm here this morning, but I'm covered by guilt and shame. I don't even feel clean being here. I've talked to people. You know, you invite them to church and they say, a church will fall in on me. I can't go to church. Everybody would know. They point and laugh at me. Ha ha, look at that sinful person here in church trying to make it all right. And every single person who's ever come to salvation has been in the same place. That's the way it is. You bring your faults, your failures, your shame, your uncleanness to God, and He saves you from it. Isaiah 65:17 reads, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind.
I've read the end of the book.
Yes, I have too. And guess what? Heaven and earth shall pass away and God's going to make everything new. And if you're there on that day, all of your old faults and all of your old failures and all of your shame, they are going to be gone. And God says they won't even come into mind anymore. He won't even be conscious of them anymore.
Well, all that sounds good, Nathan, but you know, New Year's Day, the 1st of January, ain't until Thursday. Which means, you know, I have to wait till New Year's to make a new beginning. To make some kind of radical change in my life. That story about being in the pit, which I told my salvation story, it didn't happen on New Year's Day. When I was a young man and prayed for salvation, that didn't happen on New Year's Day either. 2 Corinthians 6:12 reads, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, Thursday is the accepted time." Brother, you know it's up there on the screen. Okay, yes, it's up there on the screen. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. While I've known the Lord for all these years, you may. But if there's any need in your life, you don't make it right by making a resolution. Pastor shared this morning in Sunday school, our Lord and Savior said, "Casting your cares upon me." We don't have to carry around our burdens. We don't have to carry around our filth and our shame and our pain. Just bring it to Christ and receive salvation. Pastor, if you would.